The best way to learn a language? Immersion. Living where the language is spoken and using it every day. But if that's not in the cards this year, you can still learn a language the second best way. And that's with Babbel. Be a better you in 2024 with Babbel, the science-backed language learning app that actually works. Don't pay hundreds of dollars for private tutors or waste hours on apps that don't really help you speak the language. Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are handcrafted by over 200 language experts and help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. Babbel's designed by real people for real conversations, and their tips and tools are approachable, accessible, rooted in real-life situations, and delivered with conversation-based teaching so you're ready to practice what you've learned in the real world. Here's a special limited-time deal for our listeners. Right now, get up to 60% off your Babbel subscription at babbel.com/bluewire. That's 60% off at babbel.com/bluewire, spelled BABBEL.com/bluewire. Rules and restrictions apply.
What is going on, guys? Welcome back to another episode of Talking Halos. I'm your host today, Jared Timms, and I'm joined alongside my co-host, my partner in crime, Nate Green. Nates, how you doing?
Doing well, Jared. How about you, buddy?
I'm doing fantastic. Well, it'd be a lot nicer if the Angels, you know, would win a series or two, but it's okay. You know, they're maybe coming back down to earth a little bit. I'll say this, though. They're not playing horrible baseball. Not playing bad baseball, though. We've seen worse baseball from them.
Oh, absolutely.
Fair to say we've seen worse baseball from them. But I'm going to use, is this your line? We are who they thought. They are who we thought they were.
No. The Colts coach against the Bears, I believe. Or the Bears coach against, I don't remember.
It's been used.
Cardinals coach versus the Bears.
It's been used a lot. I'll say that. But, yeah, I mean, just coming back down to earth. Nothing too crazy, to be honest. Angels lose the Rays series. We'll talk about that. Got some injury news, some player acquisition news, I guess we can maybe talk about a little bit. Then we'll preview the Red Sox series. Do you have something to say?
No, I'm excited.
Look like you did. So with all that being said, thank you so much for watching and listening. Drop it down in the comment section below if you're watching us on YouTube. How you feeling about the season? I look at all the comments. Nate looks at all the comments. Derek looks at all the comments as well. We enjoy seeing them. We enjoy talking with you guys there. If you want to talk to us more, you can follow us on all our social medias, Twitter, X, Instagram, and Facebook. You can follow myself on X at Jared_Timms, Nate at NateGreen34. I always throw Derek C. Apollo's name out there. So Derek at DC Apollo, you can go follow him there as well, the CEO of Talking Halos. Give us 1 second. I'm going to use the Derek line here. Give us 1 second to pay the bills.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
See how I did that? Is it good?
Yeah, very good.
All right, let's get it rolling here. Let's get it rolling. Angels lose 2 of 3 to the Rays. Don't want to say we told you so, but I think we told you so. It went down a little bit different than I think we expected it to. First and foremost, talk about the Chase Silseth news. Chase Silseth misses his start, goes on the IL. Elbow inflammation, not information, elbow inflammation, probably the best case scenario there. Always worries me just a little bit when a split finger pitcher goes, on the IL or has some elbow issues there. So, Nate, he's your favorite pitcher, so go ahead and take it away, man.
Well, it's just funny that last time we talked, I said, the big red flag for Silseth is his velo was down badly. He was sitting 93, 94. And that's usually a big indicator of something's wrong with the elbow, and that's what it is. He's gonna take a couple weeks off, 3, 4 weeks, be back hopefully in a month or so. It's a tough blow for this Angels team because we all know the starting pitching depth is not there. They don't have a lot of depth. If somebody else goes down, they are in a world of trouble because they don't really have too many guys down there where it's like, ooh, we feel comfortable throwing that guy out there every fifth day. So it's a big blow. Hopefully he gets healthy soon. We've seen a lot of guys that on the league with this kind of injury where we're just hoping it heals and he's been able to go in about a month or so.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a good time to kind of recap the series here a little bit, and we'll kind of go backwards here because it's a good transition. Jose Soriano, somebody we want to talk about, took the spot in the rotation. Nate, you mentioned it in the last podcast. You were worried about, because this is Chase Silseth's spot, you were worried about Matt Theis catching Chase Silseth. Jose, for certain reasons, tell him why. Nobody heard about it.
I don't think Matt Theis should catch anyone with elite stuff. I think Silseth's got really, really good stuff. The splitter's tough. The fastball, when he's healthy, it's upper nines with a decent breaker. Like he's got plus stuff. You look at Tyler Anderson, not plus stuff. He be able to do some things lately, but he like let's just be honest, it's not plus stuff. Even like Sandoval and Canning, their stuff is not elite stuff. When you look at Jose Soriano and Chase Silseth, these guys have plus stuff, hard breaking balls, hard velo, and usually a really good out pitch. For Silseth, it's a splitter. For Soriano, it's a slider. I did not want Matt Theis catching a guy with plus stuff. I think Matt Theis would be great to catch a Tyler Anderson, a Griffin Canning, or even a Patrick Sandoval. So that was my worry, and we saw it early in game one with the wild pitch that scored two and oh
Game three.
in yes in game three, sorry, early in game three. I was thinking inning one. We saw it early in game three where Theis has the wild pitch, two guys score on the wild pitch, which is completely unacceptable. You never see that. And the wheels just fell off the bus from there. I mean, it kind of got it was tough. The Angels got put in a big hole early and just really couldn't climb out of it.
To be fair, there aren't very many catchers in the league that are going to make the stop. And I know people are going to be like, well, the pitch was 30 feet in front, but you can't let the second guy score. Well, I agree with you there. But that's
Yeah,
it.
there's not too like I'm not sitting here gonna say like Logan Ohapi blocks that thing, but I know Logan Ohapi is gonna make sure two guys don't score. Like it didn't feel like it was a great job from him. I know he didn't see it, whatever, but it just felt like he didn't get there in time and things like that. And I don't know. I think he could have done a better job of getting his body in the way. It kind of looked like he tried to swipe at it a little bit, and that's a big no-no with runners on base as well. So yeah, what I know.
Yeah, no, again, Soriano gives up the 4 runs, 3 in the first inning. Kind of a tough break there for sure. Bullpen handled it well though. Simber still looks really good. Garcia came in through a shutout inning. Matt Moore went in through two shutout innings, and Carlos Estevez closed it out. Fortunately, Angels lost that game 4-2. Another bright spot in this series, Mike Trout being Mike Trout. Doing unbelievable things on pace for, I think he's probably down a little bit, close to 80 home runs this year. I know he's not going to hit 80 home runs, but still fun to do the on pace thing here early in the season. And he's been really, really good. However, let's talk about this second game. We saw Sandoval and Savali go toe to toe. Sandoval, didn't quite have it. 3 walks, gave up 4 earned, 6 hits, 6 strikeouts. Did you watch the game?
Of course.
How'd you feel about Patrick Sandoval then, since you are Patrick Sandoval's biggest fan?
It's the same thing we've seen every single time when he doesn't pitch well. Body language, tempo, all those things, and it just wasn't good enough for him. It is what it is. It's kind of frustrating to see the same thing happen every time. When things go his way and he's good, he's good. When things don't go his way, it just completely unravels for him. The Rays did a good job against him, though. They worked counts. They made him throw a lot of pitches. And he only got through five, which I think the big thing when you're playing the Angels, you want to get to the bullpen right now. So if you're getting the starting pitching out in the fourth, fifth inning, that's big for teams because the Angels bullpen is not deep right now. There's a couple guys who are pitching good, but it's not deep at all. So a lot of these teams are trying to get through the bullpen, and for them to make him throw 101 pitches in five innings, it's pretty good job by them.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm in agreement there with you. However, I mean, nothing new there with Patrick Sandoval,
No.
in our opinions. And we'll go on to game one there. Cy Anderson pitched really well. Sevin Chetty again. I know, Nate. I mean, he'll come back down to earth, and you'll start letting me have it again. But I'll take this while we have it. Tyler Anderson looked good again. I know you were
The
gonna
box
complain.
score looks good. The box score looks good.
Score does look good. He gave up four hits in seven innings, struck out three, pitched a contact guy. The changeup working. It's working enough, and to throw off the rhythm, the tempo, the bats of a pretty decent hitting team in Tampa Bay. I know they've been struggling up early, but they're off the rhythm of a good hitting team like this is pretty good. And then we saw Simber and Strickland come in, and it really shut the door there.
Not Strickland, but Simper, yes.
You get what I'm saying? They shut the door. It was a 7-0 game. So, yeah, I'll take it. Angels lose 2 of 3. You got anything else to say other than, Mike Trout? Would Trout have 3 home runs this series? And
Trout looked really good. The Angels, they need somebody else to step up offensively. This offense is it's pretty rough right now. There's two, maybe three guys. The reason why I say maybe three guys is because Rengifo's not even playing every day. Like, they've got to find a way to get Rengifo everyday ABs because he's one of the three guys on the team that actually are competent at the plate right now. Like, Sano's striking out a lot. Drury doesn't look great. Moniak looks lost. Hicks looks lost.
Ward
You're
looks good.
looking at,
Hockey looks good. Renifo looks good. Trout looks good. Everybody
yeah,
else.
there you go.
Back in.
There's the yeah, there's the three and a half. Because Ohapi does look really good. So yeah, they need to find a way to get Rengifo in the game more. If they have to start sitting Sano or Shanuel, depending on righty lefty, I think that's what they got to do. Rengifo should play second base every day, and if it's a tough lefty, sit Shanuel. If it's a tough righty, you can sit Sano. And if it's not a tough lefty or not a tough righty, you can roll the dice and play Shanuel and Drury, or Shanuel and Sano, or Drury and Sano, whatever you want to do, whatever combo works for you. But you can't continue to run out Sano, Shanuel, and Drury because they're just not hitting. And it's not fair to a guy like Luis Rengifo, who, coming off a really good season last year, I know everyone's going to say it was really good after July because it was, but it's not fair to a guy who's hitting 333. And I know the at bats are limited, but like, you got to find a way to keep him in the lineup if he's going to continue to produce something.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree there with you on that. Brandon Drury also started off slow last year, if I remember correctly, too. And then all of a sudden caught fire,
Right
after.
around July when most of the Angels catch fire when they're out of it.
Well, it was before that. He was good pretty much that second from the second month to the end of the year. I thought he was pretty decent. He had a very slow start to the season, and then he caught like fire in one game, and then it just kind of continued for him. One question going back to I know we talked about Soriano and the Sill set thing. How do we feel about Soriano starting? And how do we feel about him starting in future games? As long as, I mean, you give him a shot with Logan Ohapi, right? You
Yeah,
have to.
you have to. I'm not really nervous about him being able to get outs, if that makes sense. Like, that's not what worries me. What worries me is the longevity of Soriano. I know people are going to be like, "Oh, well, if he gives us five innings, that's good." But like, this team isn't built for a starting pitcher to go five innings right now. When some of these bullpen guys get healthy, Stevenson gets healthy and he's pitching good, Garcia starts to pitch a little bit better. You start to lengthen out this bullpen where it's like, hey, you can go 5 innings and win a game, sure. But right now, with where they're at, they need somebody who's going to be able to eat some innings because this bullpen is getting absolutely torched right now. So that's my biggest thing is the longevity of him. How long can he go? I know it's your 72 pitches. That was kind of like, hey, we knew you could give us four, maybe five, just to kind of get his feet wet as a starter again. And then I think in this next outing, they'll probably let him go somewhere in that 85 to 95 range, maybe even touch 100 pitches. But yeah, and then the other thing is he's had two Tommy Johns. I know people are going to say, well, you can have Tommy John out of the bullpen. Of course you can. But when you're asking a guy to go back and forth between throwing 80 to 100 pitches and throw 15, 20 pitches back to 80 and 100 pitches, those kind of things, that just adds more wear and tear on the arm. That's my biggest concern for him. I think he can be successful as a starter. He's got good stuff. The injury history is a big concern for me.
Yeah, no, I agree there with you. I would like to see what he can do as a starter because I definitely think he can. I mean, it's a would you rather him be in the bullpen? Would you rather him start? I guess you use him in the right situation here, and I guess that's to start. But that being said, let's get on to the preview here of I mean not necessarily the entire road stand a road trip, but you know it's a long definitely a long road trip. Angels go to Boston for three. They go down to Tampa for four, and then back up to Cincinnati for three before coming back home. Long road trip. It could be a rough, definitely a rough road trip. Angels just face Boston. There's not pitching matchups out quite yet, at least for the Red Sox, unless you got them. I know
No,
the Angels are there.
it's Angels are all set. The Red Sox are not. You can probably guess based on who's pitched lately for the Red Sox, but you never know.
So game one, we'll see Reed Detmers on the bump. Game two, Griffin Canning. Game three, Tyler Anderson. I'm not it. I'm so this is kind of I feel what's going to happen. Detmers facing the same team for the second time in a week worries me a little bit. You see the same guys. For me, it worries me. I know you can point out that the Angels will probably face somebody that was the exact same. Who did Detmers go up against, Crawford or Houck last time? I think it was Houck, wasn't it? So you can probably say the same thing and be like, oh, they're going to see Houck for the second time in a week. And yes, that is very true. So it could go well for the Angels, but I don't like starting pitcher in that matchup. Who they face, Houck
It was Whitlock.
or I said both two
Houck
people.
threw Sunday and Crawford threw Friday, but Crawford just threw yesterday, so it probably is a Detmers Whitlock outing.
Again, yeah. So I mean, I like. I don't like the pitching matchup in that scenario. You got two offenses facing the same pitchers for the second time in the last week. So definitely worries me. It's going to be a bullpen game again there, I would assume. On that note, and then same thing again goes for Griffin Canning facing the Red Sox again, who actually hit him pretty well. I would like a Griffin Canning start. You go 5 innings, give up 3 runs, go to the bullpen. It turns into a bullpen game again there. So, like the first matchup, I remember what I said. The first two games will be bullpen games. I think that's going to kind of be the same scenario here. I don't know if you have any different thought for those first two games, and then we get on to Tyler Anderson, who we can talk about here shortly.
Yeah, so Detmers, I think this is a big, big, big game for his development. Going to see a team like this twice in two starts, we'll really get to find out is he actually different this year? Because anyone can have success against a team on any given day, but can you have success against the team two times? This is good for him to get into a postseason success as well. Obviously, I'm not saying they're a postseason team this year, but like you hope that Reed Detmers finds his way into the postseason at some point in his career. And if he can get two good starts against Boston, this should be good for him in his maturity growing forward. As you get into that 7-game series, maybe he throws a game two and a game six or a game seven, and it could be good for him. Griffin Canning, I want to highlight something with Griffin Canning, and I don't know for sure, but
Is he
I
tipping his
want to
pitches?
just put this out there. Is he healthy?
Oh, you're gonna go with that one. I was gonna say, is he tipping his pitches? Because I mean,
No.
those are the first two things Angels fans usually go to: is
No, no,
this
no.
guy healthy or is this guy
So
tipping pitches? So.
I understand Griffin Canning. I understand leaving Reed Detmers on his normal rest. You don't want to push him back because this is his normal start day. Friday would be his normal start day with the off day. I think it's an extra day, but it's not too much of an extra day. Griffin Canning was actually scheduled to start Wednesday. And then the Chase Silseth news comes out. He's hurt. And they decide to throw Jose Soriano in instead of Griffin Canning. And they move Griffin Canning all the way to Saturday. I'm a little concerned about that. That's a long time for rest, first of all. And the Angels, we know they have not done a great job. Most of these starting pitchers have complained a lot about the Shohei Ohtani. Man, I didn't know when I was going to throw. I threw on 11 days rest. I threw on 8 days rest, whatever. You know, I'm exaggerating a little bit, but you know what I'm saying. So my big question is Griffin Canning actually healthy, or is there something that they didn't like against Tampa Bay? Is there something they saw that they liked against Boston? I want to know what that is, because this is a big deal to push a guy back, not just 1 day, but they push him back 3 days, obviously with the off day in between. So really just 2 games they pushed him back. But I think that is a little bit of a question mark for me going forward with Griffin Canning.
He has, if I could be wrong, he has struggled with the arm fatigue, I believe, in the past. He had quite a few injuries as well. He missed the whole season 1 year, but he has struggled.
That was a back injury.
He has struggled with arm fatigue. He had the shoulder issue there at UCLA too. So not a stranger. Not a stranger to this by any means, but definitely a good call out there for sure. So we'll see how he looks. I don't think Velo's been down at all. I think he's been throwing the same, but yeah, interesting note to see him.
Just Friday to Friday. Friday to Saturday, excuse me. So it's a long day, like a long time off for him.
Yeah, and he's also been somebody that's been with Shohei Ohtani in the same rotation as Shohei Ohtani since basically, I mean, for 5 straight years, right? Minus when Canning's not in the rotation and he's hurt, but still he's been throwing on, you know, 7 days rest forever. So give it a couple weeks. Let's see what happens here. I
2020 was the year that Ohtani didn't pitch, so he pitched on normal rest then. Like he's had some times where he's pitched on normal rest. But I just think that it's something to point out and something to be a little bit concerned with, knowing the starting pitching woes that the Angels have had.
Yeah, so big start for Reed Detmers. Griffin Canning will monitor that situation. Mm-hmm. I would say that Tyler Anderson's in a very similar situation as Reed Detmers. I'd like to see him continue this because it's more fun when the Angels are winning. I know we make fun of the Tyler Anderson thing and things like that, but he's off to a very, very good start to the season. I like to see him continue. How can he continue this against a team that we're going to see the short porch in left field? You know, they're going to put a lot of righties out there. What's he going to have to do?
Their lineup is a little bit left-handed, though. That's one good thing about this start for Tyler Anderson. Their best hitters are left-handed. Jared Duran, one of their best hitters, he's left-handed. Rafi Devers, one of their best hitters, he's left-handed. Yoshida, typically one of their better hitters, he's left-handed. And Tristan Cassis is left-handed as well. So there's a potential for 4 lefties in this lineup. I don't know if I would go that route against Tyler Anderson. It actually might be tougher for the Red Sox if they threw more righties in, because it allows him to throw the changeup a little bit more. So this actually could be a trap start for Tyler Anderson facing all the lefties and having to throw the slider and the curveball more than the changeup, because the changeup is more of his, I would say it's his best pitch.
Yeah, and I'd actually say, like, don't go away from what's giving you success either. I'd like to still see that changeup continue to...
It's just so hard to throw that left-on-left changeup, especially with most of the hitters, like the left-handed hitters, that's right into the bat path, right? Like, it's really hard to backdoor that changeup. Sometimes you get on the side of it and runs into the low inside part, and Yoshida or Duran or Devers rips one around the pesky pole and right, and all of a sudden you're down 2-3-0. So I think this could be a really challenging start for him. But this is also a really good start, because you're going to get to find out you're facing a team who's kind of been rolling. He hasn't really faced a team that's looked good so far. Tampa took 2 of 3 from us, but Tampa Bay hasn't been too good early on. So this is a really, really good test for him. If he can throw good here, we have a shot to be getting, you know, upper 3 ERA from him instead of like that mid 4 ERA that I think that you're more likely to get from him. So you're looking at a team who scored 56 runs in their 12 games, which is really, really good compared to Tampa, who scored 55 in 13 games. So there is a little bit of a difference. And then you look at Miami. Miami hasn't scored at all. Miami scored 47 runs in 13 games. They've been awful. I think this is a big, big series, big, big game for Anderson and Detmers to kind of show that they're going to take that next step.
Yeah, and just looking at things on Baseball Savant here, by the way, he hasn't really faced very many lefties this year, which is very, very interesting to note.
It's not that interesting though, because Tampa Bay is very analytical based, where you got a lefty on the mound, they're pretty much going to throw all righties against you. And Miami's got two lefties. Miami has Josh Chisholm and Luis Arraez. Most of the time, they're running out seven righties against you. Arraez is pretty good. He has not been good early this year, and Josh Chisholm has started off slow as well. I think this is a big test for him to see how many lefties get stacked in this lineup and how does he do against a lefty stacked lineup.
Yeah, absolutely. He's throwing the fastball 44% of the time, the changeup 36% of the time this year. And he's only thrown they call it the cutter, if you want to call it the slider, 16% of the time this year. So very interesting when you dive into it. It'll be that'll actually, I'm interested in that Sunday start for sure for Tyler Anderson to continue to see if he can continue to build on his impressive start to the season. So Nate, you got anything before I let everybody go?
We've gone Soto claimed by Baltimore again, going back to Baltimore. Please, Zach got sent back down. He was outright. Looks like he'll accept the assignment. So that allows the Angels to keep some sort of starting pitching depth in the minor leagues, whether it's good or bad. We know Please, Zach's velo has been down thanks to TBW for that. Follow Taylor Blake Ward just in case. But yeah, he mentioned that in his last couple starts, his velo has been down from what it was in Cleveland. So we'll see. Hunter Strickland, the Hunter Strickland experience runs again. We're gonna hope it's not as bad as the last time.
All right, well said. With all that being said, guys, thank you so much for watching and listening. Go ahead, follow us on our social medias, X, Instagram, and Facebook. You can follow myself on X at Jared underscore Tim's Nate and Nate Green 34. Guys, thank you so much for listening. Have a great rest of your day.